So I think it's a couple of weeks ago, Miss Shirley Gray, she said, you know, Telecommunicators Week is coming up. And that was, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, that's the greatest idea ever. Because I think it's one of those weeks that slide past people. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's a bunch of banners, you know, downtown and ticker tape parades and stuff for these folks. And in my opinion, there ought to be, because they're the first people that answer the phone. So yesterday we got to visit and it was so much fun. And then this morning, introduce yourself, young lady.
Stacy Overby.
Well, and now are you from here in Princeton?
I am, my whole life.
So, Caldwell County grad, I love that. So what in the world made you, I don't know, want to be a dispatcher?
Yeah, you know, I really don't know. They had a position open. I was working in a job that I didn't really love anymore, and I put in for it, just had no idea what I was getting into. And came to work and went to the academy and questioned what in the world was I doing. And then you kind of just feel like you're supposed to be there sometimes.
Well, the academy could not be easy. That,
no.
That had to be hard.
And, well, the academy, you have to be away 4 weeks. For us, it was 4.5 weeks. You get to come home every weekend, but it's in Richmond at the police academy.
Okay.
So you kind of treated like kindergartner for at least the first week. And the rest of it, that you can decide that you can walk on the right side of the hallway. They leave you alone a little bit.
Well, I'm going to tell you, to do anything for, you know, that many years. And how many years again?
A little over 16.
So to do anything for 16 years, you've got to be pretty loyal and dedicated. And
just, I really think the time has just flown by, truly. I've worked every shift there, and when you work, you know, second, third shifts, you know, it just kind of, your sleep pattern, it's sleep, work, eat, sleep when you can, you know, that kind of thing. So it's just went by pretty fast, really.
Is it different now than it was when you first started? I mean, what's the difference? Is it changed as far as technology? I know that's changed, but do you have to change the way you deal with things when technology changes?
Sure. We didn't have like the talk text thing back years ago, and now we can, TTY will come in occasionally. We have to deal with those people, and that is not all the time. So then you're searching and thinking, okay, I got to get it done.
And what is TTY?
It's like for the hearing impaired, for
okay.
them to type.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So which shift is like the hardest usually because of the calls that come in?
There's a lot of calls that comes in on day shift. I'm working day shift now, and I hadn't done that. Most time it was seconds and thirds. And day shift, there's a lot of calls that come in, and a lot of times you're just fielding who they need to go to, because sometimes when they're asking for one department or another, that's a lot of call talk.
Okay.
Some of the more emergent calls are usually second and thirds because of your limited resources. A lot of places close at 4 o'clock. You got to call people out. You got, every shift has their day. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, and I wondered that, you know, because I honestly thought that second shift might be your hottest shift as far as how many calls come through, at least the volume. I really did. And I that's interesting from what you, because yesterday we talked a little bit about the non-emergency number. Mm-hmm. So you're answering that one, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We have several admin lines, a couple of 911 trunks, and sometimes they'll roll over if it's a bad scene or something like that, you know. And God bless people. They don't know that there's other people calling, too. You know?
Right. But it's my emergency
at that moment, right? Well, I mean, they're all seeing the same accident, say, the same wreck, and they're just tooling on along on I-24, and they have to be the one to call. Well, we've already had 15 other calls, but that's okay. Thank you.
Right.
We got people on the way. Thank you.
Right. Well, and so when you do that, how in the world, because sometimes, like, I have a feeling if I was really good and upset and something was really going bad and it was a very bad scene, I would probably have a hard time telling you where I was.
Yes.
And my address.
That's one, that truly is the first question we need to ask 911, where is your emergency? Because if you tell me what and the call drops and I don't have where, then I can't send you anybody. So that's what people need to know. Well, better technology now, our mapping system, you know, usually pings on or thereabouts an address.
Okay.
And But the question needs to be asked, where's your emergency? That way, it may be in the caller's mind, they can switch to thinking, I'm at such and such.
That's great advice.
Yeah, we need to know where, the very first thing. But, you know, like you said, when people are upset and things like that, they just need an ambulance. They need an ambulance. I need to know where.
Where do you need that at? So where are you bleeding at?
Yeah.
You know, that's another one. Are you breathing? You're talking, so probably breathing. But, you know, is it you or someone else that you're calling for? There's several things that, you know, we need to think about instead of starting off telling a story, give bullet points.
Yeah.
Right?
And people are just, it's their worst day of their life. It's their worst emergency they've had to deal with, especially frantic ones.
Right.
It has to do with a parent or a child or things like that. And, I mean, they just need some help right now.
Right.
And, a lot of people, I'm dispatching it out while I'm still talking to people sometimes, and they don't know that. Yeah. I just need somebody here right now.
Right.
Well, they're on their way. And I like to be able to talk to them if I can. Ask updated information I can update my units for things that they might need.
Well, is there things, are you guys able to, okay, look, on the TV, how many times is that like a misconception, really? Because TV puts it pretty glamorous and does all the things, right? Mm-hmm. And then the reality, how much difference is there?
Well, I'm sure law enforcement and fire and EMS will have almost as big a chunk in that as we do, because, you know, people think you can go in and fingerprint the whole house and be done in 30 minutes, because that's the show's over in 30 minutes.
Right. They done found somebody and arrested them, y'all.
But that's kind of, you know, that's kind of hard to do in the real world. It takes some time to do those forensic tests and things like that. And people are, they just have to get educated sometimes.
Do you have to walk them through sometimes what to do, like until they get there?
Yes.
Like, this is what we need to do. And that's a challenge, too. To talk to people is one thing, but to guide them through and almost teach them on the fly, really, right, how to do some life-saving medical tools.
Right. I mean, as far as people being outside in the wintertime and they've fallen and she's complaining of a hurt hip, please bring her a quilt. Please bring them a blanket. Keep them as comfortable as possible, but don't move them unless, of course, it's fire or whatever.
Right.
But there's just things that people, they don't even think about that. But, you know.
Well, my first instinct is I want to pick her up. Yeah. I want to help her up.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's probably the wrong thing.
Depends. I mean, yeah, it could be.
Well, and that too, you know, make the phone call and check and make sure what's going on. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that could happen, maybe you called for, you know, and you didn't need to, but what if you did need to?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So, and that's the kind of, how do you learn medical advice? Is that still in your training or
yes,
is that like an additional thing to learn?
Well, we do go through EMD training in academy. And questions you need to ask, and there's actually a book that you can flip pages to and things like that. But a lot of times in this little small town, we have dispatchers, call takers and dispatchers, and we're the same person.
Okay.
A lot of times in the bigger cities, you have a call taker, and then you have a dispatcher.
Huh.
And the call taker will take all the information from the person and type it in, and the dispatcher is the one's talking to the units. So this person can only know what this person, the dispatcher can only know what the call taker types to them to say.
I gotcha.
I'm really, really glad we don't do that because of I might have a lot of questions before I say something else to my unit.
I just think there's a lot left in translation between the person that's actually talking to the people and, you know, what fire or EMS might need to know.
But they're really kind of point blank and strict, and apparently they don't. It's not real personable sometimes
right,
to them, maybe. I don't know. I've not ever done that job. I don't think I would like that. Mm. When we're here and then, you know, when it's over with, a lot of bigger cities, they don't have that opportunity to talk to the other responders. and maybe get some closure. I know that sounds cliche, but it's the truth. We can actually ask questions, or we can, you know, see their faces and know what kind of, and don't have to ask any questions. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's a thing, too. I would think it would be the hardest thing in the world to hang that phone up and not ever know.
Yes.
I would just think it would, because in a lot of scenarios, especially in a smaller community, you may know those people.
Right.
And to not know the end of that or how that happened would drive me nuts.
Yeah, and, you know, every entity has their cross to bear.
Right.
And there's a bit of possible to some people could be like a PTSD situation where it's something you cannot get out of your mind and it's triggered by or whatever. And I'm grateful that we can get that closure. Because, like you said, with the other ones, you just sometimes they don't know.
Well, and I
they can go back and read a CAD the next day, or they can read what was finished. But and that's good. But you know, I'm hometown girl, small town USA. So I'm really proud that we have that opportunity to talk to people we actually know.
Well, and that's gonna be hard just to shut it off, even when you do know it, and shut it off and go home and not think about things. And you know, I think everybody needs somebody to talk to. And just to be honest with one another, where you go, look, that sucked. And
yes.
Here's why.
Yes.
Because if you're not, I mean, you're carrying that around all the time.
Like we say, you know, dispatch is safe haven. You know, you can come and scream and yell and whatever you want to do. And we can talk it out, whatever.
That's good, though.
Yeah, it really is.
When you've got a tight-knit kind of family teamwork.
We've got a lot of young people coming in, you know, young people coming in as officers, and, you know, they have no idea what we really do. And used to, you know, they would come up sometimes and just sit and listen and watch. I had an officer last week saying, man, I can't believe you're trying to hear to do this by yourself. I was like, it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Well, and during things like the tornado.
Oh, yeah.
I could say the one from May, because I think every time we have a tornado warning, it's terrifying now. Yeah. But back in 21, when, what do you do in that scenario? Well, I would think that you just do what you can and the best that you can.
That's what I was told about 16 years ago, handle it. You can do that, handle it. But you have to. You just have to handle it.
You had a lot of experience leading up to that, but that had to have been a test of everything you ever learned.
You know what? The Lord was gracious to me. I did not work that night.
Oh, okay.
And it came down closer to where I live than I even knew until the next morning. And within a mile, a gentleman died. And I was, and my people, they're my people.
Right.
You know, they're out having to deal with this stuff, or they're my dispatcher friends and family. You know, they're trying to take care of all these calls when there's, you know, things are going down. There's no phones. There's, you know, everything is a big emergency for everybody.
Right.
Including dispatch. So they're the ones trying to make sure everybody gets,
You were the person on the other end of the phone.
Absolutely.
And that's got to be a big fear, too, you know, answering the phone and there being somebody you really know or somebody, a family member on the line. Have you ever had to deal with that?
Oh, yeah.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I've been
I want to climb across the bar and hug her right about now. I mean, because that's got to be your worst nightmare.
It's pretty tough sometimes, yeah. And then again, I think that, you know, sometimes we're put in this position, in the positions we work, for a reason. I had a friend of mine call me one time that a kid she was babysitting, they couldn't find her, and I'm on the phone with her, and I'm talking to the police, and we're dealing. Little son of a gun was like in a closet, thankfully.
I would have seen my I'm gonna drop the phone and go run and help him look. I'll be there in a minute. I mean, that's me.
Between her and my law enforcement people and everybody that went around looking for him, yeah, bless his heart, he was in a closet. He was just playing.
Oh my God. I'll never forget. Okay, I'm going to tell this story 12 times this week, Shirley. Shirley got a call that my dog had a jug on its head. He was just in the yard, I guess, laying there with a jug on his head. Have you ever got some of those funny calls?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the ones that are, they call the frequent flyers.
Right.
Yeah, we have several of those. As soon as we call and get a complaint, that's really not a complaint, but a concern or a welfare check on this one or that one, we know why, and we say, thank you, we'll let them know. And then I may call, this is what's going on, and I told them I'd let them know, because bless their hearts, they're that way all of the time, and it's not really an emergency.
Right. Is there a call that you'll never forget? One of them that you're like, I'll never forget that.
Oh, yeah. Several.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have enjoyed already. It's Tuesday, Miss Shirley, and I've already enjoyed the heck out of it, because I think we get to know what you do and who you guys are, and that's something that we don't get a chance to do very often.
Let me say one thing before we go. If you have small children and you let them play with your cell phone or a phone that doesn't work anymore because it doesn't have any minutes, if it has a battery in it and will turn on, it will call 911. That's the only number that it will call. But it will call 911. So when you get these little kids that's been playing with this cartoon, and if they've called 911, and I was like, can I speak to your mommy? No. No. I'm like, oh, goodness. So that's when we have maps that actually do help trying to locate. Because
the two-year-old doesn't know where he lives. No. He lives at his house. That's what.
Is your mommy there? Yeah. Can I talk to her? No.
Well, I don't want to take it to her. Then I'm going to get in trouble. I mean, come on. Right?
Yeah, that was funny. But
my son has done that. He's special needs. And I've been the embarrassed mom that was begging your forgiveness before. No. Because he just plays with it. And, you know, he's like, oh, well, look at there. I'll just push that. Let's call them. So, yeah, Eli's called before. And so if it's Eli, you tell him, mom's going to be mad. Hang up. Right?
Yeah.
But we thank you. I cannot say thank you enough. I told you before we ever went on, I think the good Lord puts people in certain positions because they know that that's your gift. I think you guys are amazing for what you do.
I sure appreciate it. And I appreciate you letting us come on.